We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN here at 9:32. Jason Smith is our guest this morning. He's the president and CEO of the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. We talk to him on the third Thursday of each month. And talking about a number of things, we've got some events happening here with the chamber, including Business After Hours, which happened recently. And Jason, tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so we are as the rest of the community is as well. We're getting back into our quote unquote normal routine in terms of events. And so one of our most popular events we've had forever is Business After Hours. And in May was our first in-person Business After Hours in over a year. And we had over 100 people attend. It was kind of funny. I got to the event 15 minutes early and I thought, what am I going to do for 15 minutes? And I got in there and there was already about 20 or 30 people there. It is clear that people are excited to be back in some kind of a routine. They're back excited to see each other and interact personally. And of course we always want to be safe and we always want to try to do the right things. We don't want to go backwards, but, at the same time, it was great to see people. It was great to see people interacting again. And so we're going to continue to move forward, pushing some of our events that back into in-person. And we talked a minute ago about the June 8th luncheon with Tracy Mann. That will be our first power lunch we've had in person in over a year. We've done those online. And of course, we've had the governor, we've had the lieutenant governor, we've had President Myers from Kansas State. We've had the superintendent of schools. We've had the police director. That's an event where we try to bring newsmakers to the table and have them talk to us about what they're doing and what impact that has on the Manhattan business community. But a couple of other big events coming up that we're super excited about. July 29th and 30th, we will have our postponed regional leaders retreat. That's an event we normally have in January. It normally is in Kansas City or on the Kansas side in one of the suburbs. For the first time in a long time, that will be in Manhattan this year, and it will be at the Hilton Garden Inn. And so we encourage people to get that on their calendar and look for information and attend that. There's going to be a lot of dialogue about some of the priorities of the communities, including jobs, including workforce, talent, including housing, entrepreneurship, innovation, recovery from COVID. So that's going to be a lot of fun to be back in town and make that part of Manhattan again. And then August 3rd is the Business Awards, which we kicked off last year. Of course, it was virtual last year. But we just opened up nominations for business awards, and we have five awards. One is Cornerstone, which is given to a business that has a lifetime of success and giving back to the community. We have a Small Business Award. We have an Entrepreneurial Spirit Award to somebody that personifies entrepreneurship and innovation in the community. We have a Tourism Development Award. And then we have a Minority and Women-Owned Business Award. And so those nominations are open. You do not have to be a member of the chamber to nominate. So call our office and they can get you a nomination form and you can nominate a business for one of those five awards. And we will announce the three finalists for each award ahead of the banquet or the luncheon and then announce the winner at the luncheon. So it is, chambers that can't get together and network and have events are quite frankly sometimes a very sad place to work. And so I can tell you our team is very excited to be able to get back and get in front of our members and help them find new opportunities and ways to be successful. And so the mood of our office has certainly been great over the last couple of weeks as we get into more of these sort of normal events that we've had historically.
That's awesome to hear. We just shared the Facebook post you guys had on the Business Award nominations. That's obviously a big thing, and I want to make sure people know about that. And you have till June 18th to get those nominations in. And I'm so glad to hear that, you know, you've got these events. And it's nice to hear that Leaders Retreat will be here in Manhattan. I know that people look forward to going out of town for that, but what a great opportunity for Manhattan to host that.
Yeah, it was, I mean, obviously with the challenges in the hospitality industry, we just felt like it was the right thing to do. And so I'll give our leadership a lot of credit. You know, the reason they have that out of town and we've done that out of town is there is a strong feeling that people tend to be more focused on issues and those kind of things when they can get away from their offices. And there are a number of cities in Kansas that across the country that will have retreats outside of their community. I know I spoke to somebody at a conference recently who it was Ottawa, in fact, the Ottawa Chamber, who said that they'd had a big retreat in Manhattan about 5 years ago. And so those things happen, and because people do feel like that sometimes you're more productive when you get away from your day-to-day duties. But in light of what's gone on in the community over the last year and the challenges that the hospitality industry has had, we just think it's good. It's just good business to do that business in Manhattan this year. And we'll, if it's successful, and we hope it is, I don't see any reason why we can't consider keeping that moving forward. But a lot of that'll just have to do with what kind of participation we get. And hopefully we'll get a lot of people that'll show up.
Absolutely. And Jason Smith, our guest here from the Chamber of Commerce on In Focus, we're going to talk a little bit about growth here. And I understand you have some interesting demographic information to share.
Yeah. So we have, you know, I think we've mentioned before, our chairman this year, Mark Bashamp from Olson, set out two primary goals for 2021 for us as an organization and really as a community to take a look at and come up with strategies to address. The first, not necessarily in importance, but the first one we're going to talk about is that we are challenged in our economic development program as we look to attract potentially new businesses, as well as grow our own. We are challenged in terms of availability of sites. So all of our office parks are almost completely full. We're challenged, and this is sometimes a good thing, but in the case of trying to attract new jobs, it's a challenge as we don't have a lot of existing building space, particularly as it relates to manufacturing and logistics and warehousing. And so we are working very diligently to come up with strategies to address those issues. And we'll be coming forward, hopefully, to the City Commission and others over the next couple of months with some ideas we have to address those issues. The second one that Mark challenged us to address was our stagnant population growth. And so we put together a task force that's being chaired by Tom Phillips, who most of you know is a former state representative, former city commissioner, former mayor, but also trained as a city planner. And so Tom is the perfect person to lead this effort for us. We have a small group that's made up of HR professionals, engineers, people who have recently moved to town, people with a lot of different viewpoints on the community. And we did, the first thing we did was took a deep dive on some of our trends and demographics, and we brought in Eric Higgins from Kansas State to help us put that together. And I think in summary, what we've discovered is we are not only just are we stagnant in population, we actually, in terms of the metro area, we have seen, which is Raleigh, Pottawatomie, and Gary counties, we've actually seen a decrease in population in the MSA from 2012 of nearly 5%. That's not a sustainable number if we want to grow as a region. We have seen job declines over the last several years. We've seen decreases in gross domestic product. Now, having said that, most of that is related to two significant employers that we have in this region, which is Fort Riley and Kansas State. So Fort Riley over the last several years has seen a decrease in nearly 7,000 troops and civilian jobs, which happened when we lost a battalion. And so that has flattened out. And I think at least right now, it seems that we're in great shape, and actually, you know, hopefully we'll at minimum, we'll stay flat and have some opportunities to add jobs in the future. But that obviously is an enormous impact regionally on our economy. Second one, I think this has been more publicized, is the decrease in students at Kansas State. So we're down, and these are all publicly available numbers. I'm not giving away anything proprietary, but we're down 3,000 to 3,500 students, which has created a decrease in 200 to 300 full-time employees at K-State, and decrease in the amount of payroll that's paid and put into the Manhattan economy. So the idea that you know, some of the challenges we've had, population and GDP and job-wise, you know, the fact that we've actually maintained, in light of those two pretty significant economic situations that have occurred here, is actually pretty remarkable. And I think a lot of credit to our local business community and our and the foresight of our some of our government entities to make really good investments in growth initiatives. However, I think we all have to look at refocusing and think about what do we need to do to attract more private sector job growth. And of course, that's why we undertook the whole Greater Manhattan Project Region Reimagined planning process 2 years ago. We are working on that economic development strategy, but it is incredible to think about how important that is going to be to us moving forward in light of the challenges that we're seeing in public sector job growth in the community. And so we're going to be looking at a lot of different things over the next few months. One is the strategic plan, which we talked about earlier, but as well as some other things like housing and annexation and policies and procedures. What can we do to encourage more growth in the community and get more people to want to live in Manhattan?
I have a follow-up question that I'll ask you here, but I want to get to our caller first. Robert is on the line and has a question or a comment. Good morning, Robert.
I'm so thrilled to hear a well-spoken, well-educated person interested in getting this economic engine going. You know, if you look online at the map of the electric vehicle charging centers around the city, there's five of them. I don't know how many of them are private or how many of them are available for usage, but nobody out there on the economic engine of I-70 knows that they're here or that we're here. And if you had put, let's say, a Tesla charging center or two there behind the Chamber of Commerce, you don't just pull up like you do at a gas station. The location of that Tesla charging center would be on the data screen of every $100,000 Tesla vehicle nationwide. And you get a fella pull in here with a Tesla, he's got $100,000 in that vehicle and more money, disposable income in his pocket or her, and they hook it up to the Tesla charging. We're talking about 2 or 3 hours for dinner across the street over there, or a movie, or going to the art center that sells art across the street, or anything to get into their pocket and generate some economic engine activity into the town off of I-70, for instance, with that Tesla vehicle. Okay, well, thank you for paying attention.
Thank you, Robert, for those comments. And I know he's had that concern for quite some time. I might just ask.
And by the way, there are things like that that people are looking at on a regular basis. I mean, these ideas don't go into a vacuum somewhere never to be seen again. I mean, we hear ideas. We look and see if there's opportunities to do that. And that's one. And there's several others we've heard on this program before that we continue to pursue. So I don't want people to think we ignore it. We don't.
All right, very good. Well, you talked about growth here and not trying to be stagnant. What is an ideal growth percentage rate that you guys shoot for over maybe on an annual period?
That's an interesting question because part of this strategic planning process, it would be interesting to see if that becomes part of that, because that would be a community. Obviously, you need to plan for growth and how much growth and those kind of things. Historically, I have worked in, this is my third major university community, and we've looked at other university communities. It's not uncommon and is usually fairly certain that in most university communities, you see 1-2% annual growth in both population and jobs. And so I think that would be something that you would expect to see in a town like Manhattan, would be 1.5% growth year over year over time, and not something that wouldn't be too hard to accommodate and plan for, but at the same time grow enough to increase the amount of revenues that governing bodies need to operate. Give opportunities for new businesses to open, give opportunities for businesses to expand. And so, again, that's not a formal, that's certainly not, there's not anything that I know of in writing where there's a goal, but 1.5% tends to be a fairly normal number for university communities.
All right, very good. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with Jason Smith after these words here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.